As we turn to our series, When the Impossible Becomes Possible, we continue to learn about the miracles of Jesus. And we continue to learn that the miracles are not something of a day gone by, but are something that God is doing right here and right now. Amen. We thank Dr. Helen for her powerful message last Sunday. And we also thank the Reverend Blair Boyd Zant for being with us this morning. You will know Reverend Zant. She has been with us before. She is our conference director of congregational excellence and a fantastic preacher and teacher, you guys know. So we're so glad to have you with us today. I want to invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. You can follow along on your screens, open your old-fashioned paper Bibles, or use your electronic devices, whatever is most comfortable for you. But we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. But I want to tell you what's happening before we get there. In the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus has set the apostles, the disciples, loose. He said, go out and don't take anything with you. Just go and do the ministry that you have seen me doing. Do the work of feeding the hungry, of healing those who are in need of healing, of being with those who are lonely. He has said, go out two by two, do the work, don't take anything with you. And if they don't receive you, shake the dust off and go to the next people. So the disciples have been out doing the ministry that they've seen Jesus doing, and they've come back together to report how it's all going. And the report is good, y'all. It's good news. The report is that they have been able to do the work of ministry that Jesus has taught them. Hold on to that. You're going to need it later. And they've come back together. And y'all, I imagine that they are exhausted. There is no tired like ministry tired. Isn't that right, Reverend Zant? There's no tired like being tired after you have poured out on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ into somebody else. And then in Luke chapter 9, verse 10, in the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, it reads like this. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. Then taking them along, he slipped quietly into a city called Bethsaida. When the crowds found out about it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. The day was drawing to a close, and the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away, so that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we are here in a deserted place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." for there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. They did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and were filled. And what was left over was gathered up. 12 baskets of broken pieces. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we've come expecting a word from you, not a word from Jasmine, but needing, oh God, a word from you. So speak, for your servants are listening. Blow your fresh wind and fresh fire through this place. Pour out a fresh anointing on this, your preacher, oh God, so that everything that is said and everything that is heard comes straight from you. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. The feeding of the 5,000 may be one of the most known miracles of Jesus on the planet. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that appears in all 4 of the Gospels. It is the only miracle that appears multiple times in some gospels, saying that there were 5,000 or 4,000 or untold numbers of folks. So I'm guessing the Lord wants us to pay attention here. The disciples have been out. They've been out on their mission, Miss Ruby, and they have seen that the power of God works through them the same way they have seen the power of God work through Jesus. It's like a light bulb has gone off for them. They have seen God do the things that God has only done through Jesus previously. They have put their hands on people and they have been healed. They have sat with people and taught them and broke bread with them, and whole lives have been transformed. What they have learned from the master has now become a possibility in their own ministry. But then they come home. Did they come back and they slip away on what I imagined was supposed to be a retreat, Reverend Zant, and they slipped away to the place called Bethsaida. It means house of fish or house of hunting. An interesting place for the disciples to regather those who are supposed to be fishers of men. But by this time, there's no quietly slipping away anywhere, because the word has gotten out. Oh, Jesus and the disciples have shown up so that there can be some healing in this place. There can be some deliverance in this place. Something can change here because these disciples and the Jesus, the Christ, have shown up in this little fishing town. How many of you know when you're in the presence of God, nothing will be the same? Unless you resist it. Bethsaida is not an unfamiliar place. The Gospel of John tells us that Peter and Andrew, 2 of the disciples, are from Bethsaida, and they were called there while they were what? fishing. It's in Bethsaida that the disciples see Jesus walking on water in the Gospel of Mark. And it is also there that Jesus restores sight to the blind man when the crowd advocated for him. It is also in Bethsaida that the people turn on Jesus just a few chapters later. And Jesus says, "Woe to you, Bethsaida, because you can't get enough. You cannot be satisfied." They have a bit of a "what have you done for me lately" mentality. They want the miracles to keep coming. They want them to keep happening. They want Jesus to be a proverbial genie in a bottle, and they touch the bottle and poof, whatever they want appears. Sound familiar? Maybe not. Instead of being satisfied, they must have more. When they came to Bethsaida, they came quietly and they told Jesus about all the signs and wonders. And be careful here, because the text is very clear. Not that God has done, not that Jesus has done, but they tell what they have done. Which means, again, our disciples have missed the point. Again, the disciples have decided that it is their work, it is their power, it is their faithfulness, it is their obedience that has produced the results that only the work of God can produce. Look how good I am. Look how much I have done. Look, I showed up and people got healed. You know what happens when we take credit for God's work? We start acting as if we are God. And yet, when things get difficult, we don't know what to do. You just came from healing the sick, and now people are asking for food, and Jesus is telling you to give them food, and you look at Jesus and you say, "You feed them. What do you want us to do? You want us to go buy food for all of these people? 5,000 people? That would have been a half a year's salary for that town at that point. Have you lost your mind? You want us to provide food for more people than we have dollars and cents? We only have 2 loaves. Scarcity mentality. We only have. You have just seen the work that God has done through you, and you're right back where you were before, in a scarcity mentality, in a desert place, in a deserted place, wondering if the God who has just used you mightily will show up again. Ever met anybody like that? You just saw Jesus heal them. You just saw Jesus save them. God just provided for that bill you had. God just fixed that relationship you thought was broken beyond repair. God just gave you the new job. God just made sure you had Sunday dinner. God just got you to the right doctor who made the right diagnosis, who gave you the right medication and treatment. And yet, over and over again, you're asking God for more and doubting that God is able to do what you want next. Jesus said, send the crowd away so that the 12 came to Jesus and said, send the crowd away, because here we are in a deserted place. It's getting dark. It's getting hard. I have questions about the future. I have questions about whether or not I'm going to make it. I have questions about what God will do next, but send them away. Because we don't have enough tents for all these people to camp out here. Send them away because we only have enough food for us and it's not quite enough for us. Send them away because we only have enough lunches for this many people. Send them away because we only have enough rooms for this many people. Send them away because there's only one job. Send them away because all I can see is what I don't have. When all God has been showing me is that God has more than enough. This is why we keep missing out on the miracles of God. Because we're so focused on what we don't have. We are so stuck in the lack of. We are so stuck in a scarcity mentality that we cannot see the miracles that God is doing right in front of our faces. Send the crowd away so that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we are here in a deserted place. You're never anywhere without God. Hear me this morning. You are never anywhere without God. Jesus' response is comical here. It's okay to laugh at the Bible because it's funny. It's sarcastic. It's comical. The disciples are saying, release the people. Tell them to go away. It's about to get crazy around here, and we don't have what they need. And Jesus says to them, feed them. I'm sorry, what? I asked you to send them away. Yes, and I said, feed them. I asked you to make sure that they get home before it gets dark. You know, there are no street lights out here. There might not be enough Ubers, you know. I know the Falcons are in Jacksonville today, but, you know, if it was a regular Sunday, the traffic would be incredibly insane. And in a couple weeks, we've got the Pride Parade, and everybody's going to complain about how hard it is to get to church. And, you know, send them away. And Jesus says, give them something to eat. And And he makes it even more pointed than that, Dr. Bob. Cornelia, he says, you give them something to eat. Don't wait for somebody else to come up with a solution. Don't wait for me to pull manna from heaven. They wanted to hoard that. They couldn't trust God either then. But you, it is your responsibility to feed these people. So I have a question for you today. What if you are the miracle? See, we're always waiting for God to do something. We're always begging the Holy Spirit to show up and do it for us. And God might just be saying, I have already given you everything that you need to go and be the miracle. I've taught you how to do this. I have equipped you with the gifts and what you and the provision that you need to do this. I have shown you that signs and wonders can come by my power through you. So now do it. Oh, I wish the people of God would know that they're the miracle. Do you know that you're the miracle in your classroom? And your kids need you to be the miracle in your classroom. Do you know that you're the miracle in your small group? And those folks need you to be the miracle every single week. Do you know that you're the miracle in your office and in the churches that you are working with? Go do the work of ministry that God has empowered you to do. Every time I see that somebody is hungry, I know that we are not doing the work that God has equipped us for. Amen. I did something I don't do very often yesterday, and that's go to a grocery store. Stop laughing, y'all. Tell the truth, shame the devil. That's what my mama said. And I went to the grocery store, and y'all, I went to a grocery store that I have been in maybe once or twice before, so I was lost. I'm usually lost in a grocery store, but the format of this grocery store threw me, y'all. I had no idea where anything was. I went around that grocery store 4 or 5 times, just lost. Even the cashier, when it was time for me to check out, Miss Ruby was like, are you okay, honey? And I noticed that it was very easy to tell the difference between the people who come to this grocery store regularly and the people who dropped in on the way to somewhere else. And I finally found something that I was looking for. And when I found it, I put it in my cart, and the lady who was in the aisle, she was like, been looking for a while? I was like, yeah. So, you know, for World Communion Sunday, I like to use King's Hawaiian bread, the round kind. And I went to this grocery store because online it said that they had it in stock. That was not the truth. I looked high and low, everywhere, and I couldn't find it. And then the Lord said, turn to your left. Y'all, I had been standing there in front of the King's Hawaiian display the whole time. Just looking all around it, but never at it. Sound familiar? They didn't have the round kind, but they had a gazillion different rolls and all of this. And I was like, well, I can break a roll. And then the Lord started speaking. I had to put my hands on every single piece of the round kind while COVID is on an uptick. And the rolls, all you have to do, because they're pre-cut, is pull out the piece that you need. And so instead of wasting a whole roll that I've put my germs on, because I'm not going to eat all that bread, I can just contaminate the one piece, and I'll have plenty to share with somebody else. And if somebody trusts that I wash my hands, then instead of having 12 rolls, if I broke them in half, I would have bread to share with 24. And because it's communion, I could probably get 3 more pieces out of this. And what was meant for 12 becomes enough for many. It occurs to me that if the people of God will look beyond what they want, if the people of God might be moved by the Holy Spirit to get something that is a little different than what they were expecting, then there would be enough for everybody. And people wouldn't be dying from hunger in the richest nation in the world. And children would have an equitable education in the richest nation in the world. And people wouldn't be sleeping outside in the richest nation in the world. But the people of God have got to change their mindset. We have to move from what are you going to do? How are you going to make these people go away? How are you going to solve these problems? To what am I going to do? Because if I put my 12 little loaves and you ran to the Kroger and got 12 little loaves, all you need is $5. And you got 12 little loaves, and you got 12 little loaves, and you got 12 little loaves, and you got 12 little loaves. I'm pretty sure we could feed some people on Peachtree Street today. And all of a sudden, you have become the miracle of God in somebody else's life. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless you want us to go and buy food for all these people. And then Jesus said, come on, knuckleheads, let me show you something. Because you've missed it again. He said, put them in groups of 50. Have them sit down. And they only counted the men, y'all. You can't tell me that there weren't any women and children there. They only counted the men. There were 5,000 of them. And they fed them all. And there were enough for leftovers. Because Jesus wouldn't let the scarcity mentality of the disciples prevent them from meeting the need of the people who were gathered there. And don't miss this. He took the loaves. He looked up to heaven. He blessed them. He broke them. He gave it to the disciples. Come here, Miss Ruby. He gave it to the disciples. And he said, go feed the people. Go feed somebody. And they all ate. They all were filled. They gathered up the leftovers. Y'all want some bread? They gathered up the leftovers. And there were 12 baskets of broken pieces. We want Jesus to fix it. And Jesus has said, I have already given what you need to fix it. We want God to do it for us. And the Holy Spirit has already empowered us to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask, seek, or imagine. So why are we sitting on the sidelines whining about what we don't have? The miracle is you. 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 Get to work. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.